Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every weekend, we're just so thrilled to know that we can gather with you all over the world and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we're going to have a sermon today on the beautiful Savior. And it's the first of a series of sermons I'm going to have on 5 sermons. And today it'll be the beautiful Savior. And then the next week, the Lord willing, the Savior as the Lamb of God. And then the Savior as the King of Kings. And then the Savior as the risen Christ. And then the finally trusting the risen Christ. So just pray for these services as we go along. We have some letters, and we want to always share some of the letters. And I hope that you'll write. I think I'm going to give you the address right now so you can take this down. I hope that you'll write to us. The Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota. And by the way, we have a little booklet that we put out, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? It's a 12 pages, as I remember it. Can a Christian lose their salvation? And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And so you write for that if you have a question about your salvation. But let's look at some of these letters. The first one is from Anchorage, Alaska. Thank you for loving Jesus and serving God. I'm grateful for the example of the sharing of the body of Christ through your ministry. I'm filled with desire to love and serve more every time I'm honored to watch your services. And the reason that you feel that way is because we're preaching the Bible. All the power's in the Bible. It's not in the speaker. It's not in anybody's eloquence or anything else. It's the Word of God. And that's what helps us grow spiritually, and that's what gives us comfort, and that's what draws you closer to Christ, the wonderful Bible. Here's a letter from Germany, Passau, Bavaria, Germany. Warm greetings to you from my hometown, the Three River City of Passau and Bavaria. I am writing to you in order to report reception of the Christian Worship Hour transmitted from Cypress Creek, South Carolina. The signal strength was good, only slight static interference and a fading appeared, although altogether quite good reception. And just think of that. This is shortwave all over the world. The Christian Worship Hour covers 90% of the world's population with a shortwave radio. So you need to pray for us and support us, and we'll give you a little word on that at the end of the service. Here's one from San Rafael, California. Thank you so much for choosing to pray for Israel in your Christmas Eve sermon. I consider that my most precious Christmas gift ever. You were graciously inspired by God to pray for my people and my most holy city, Jerusalem, on the eve of the most holy day, the day our Lord and Savior came from heaven. I have no words to properly thank you. Of course, you know that there's a promise for those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look out for it. And we pray for the Jewish people all the time because God has told us in Psalm 122, verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then you know what else it says? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee, that love the Jews will prosper. That's God's word. And so we just are so thankful that we can bless and encourage anyone along the way of life, walking that Christian life. And we hope that you'll write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And if you want to have the little booklet, put that in there. We also have a little Bible study we put out. And it's called The New Song. New Song. Just say, I'd like the new song. It's free and postpaid. And it has all the sermons, and it has a text, has excerpts from letters we get. You will just love it. And we really should charge for it, but it's free. Free as a bird, just as free as can be. Just write to us, and we'd be glad to send it. Well, today we're going to start the series of sermons on Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And it's called Our Beautiful Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ of glory. Jesus Christ, they talk about the miracles in the Bible. The greatest miracle in all the Bible is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so there he stands all alone because he is God and he is man and there's none like him. He can be compared to no one. He stands all alone in human history, the Son of God and the Son of Man in one body, in one person. And so he is matchless. He is incomparable. He is peerless. He's outstanding. He's amazing. He's supreme. He's paramount. There is none other like him. There's only one perfect one, a Jesus Christ. For instance, we put all the men of the world has counted and call them great. Charlemagne the Great, Frederick the Great, Alexander the Great. Alongside of Jesus Christ, they stand like pygmies beside a giant. Or put all the men who have moved the world for God, men like Dwight L. Moody, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Charles Wesley, Charles George Whitfield, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, put them all together and alongside of Jesus, it's like the heavens standing over the earth. There's no comparison, no way to put it. Or look at the great men of the Bible, great people in the Bible, saints that stand out in the Bible, like Enoch, who was translated, Abraham, who was a friend of God, David, who was a man after God's own heart, Noah, who walked with God, Isaiah, the prophet with an evangel, Daniel, who stood among the lions, and Matthew and John and Peter and Paul and all the rest. And alongside of Jesus Christ, they're like molehills alongside of a mountain. Oh, maybe you think, well, we'll just get into the world of fiction. We'll look at these people that the world has called great. Take the heroes of Shakespeare and Hugo and Hawthorne and Scott, and alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way to comparison, no comparison. Jesus stands all alone, way high, mountains above all of them. He was perfect. For instance, he was perfect in his wisdom. The learned men of the day recognized his wisdom in a moment, and they declared in astonishment in John 7, verse 15, how did this man get such learning without having studied? The religious leaders, and after years and years of studying themselves and going to school, realized that Jesus had a wisdom far beyond them, and he knew things that they had no idea of dreaming of and asked questions they couldn't answer. Christ Jesus knew that who he was, for the Bible says all knowledge lay in him. And he showed that knowledge and that wisdom over and over. In his lifetime, for instance, you see about how that he said, at a certain time, a certain fish would have a certain coin in its mouth, and they caught the fish, and sure enough, the coin was there to pay the tax. He knew that at a certain time, a certain man would hitch an unridden donkey at the parting of the ways and ride that unridden donkey, and the men went there, and it was just like Jesus said. He knew at a certain moment, a certain man would be walking down a certain street with a water pitcher on his head, and they went to see, and sure enough, it was so. Remember his wisdom when he told Peter, "You will deny me." He named the one who was going to betray him. He actually accurately told how he would be shamefully treated and killed and raised again. He said to Nathanael, "I knew you before I saw you. You were over there under that fig tree." He said to the woman he had never met, he said, "You've had five husbands." He knew the scriptures perfectly. He told of the destruction of Jerusalem and how it would be rebuilt. And we're seeing that come to pass in 1948 in our very lifetime. He knew the very thoughts of others. Mark 2, verse 8 says, Jesus could read their minds and said to them at once, "Why does this bother you?" Many times Jesus answered their thoughts before they could put them into words, this wonderful Savior. Jesus declared supreme knowledge too, and perfection in wisdom is omniscience. And we're told in the scripture, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, what a wonderful, wise, and great God he is. And then he is perfect in his power. Jesus Christ had such remarkable power that he astonished even his enemies. And they said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this man doeth?" And remember what the Gospel of John, the writer, said. He said in John 21:25, "And there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if it should be written every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books which should be written." John says this, and he says, he supposes. He's using a figure of speech called hyperbole, and it means that it just seems like all the things that Jesus did are innumerable. You couldn't count them, couldn't put them in a book. So what did he do? Well, we could recite some of the miracles, like healing the sick and helping the poor, restoring the maimed and feeding the thousands and raising the dead. All of those things. There are many people that say, oh, the greatest miracle that Jesus did was when he raised Lazarus after he'd been dead all that time. But there's another power that Jesus had that was greater than that. And it is in this. It's the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. We know that no one can forgive sins but God Almighty. But Jesus Christ is God, second person of the Holy Trinity. And this has that power. The mighty power of God's Son sets the sinner free. It breaks the shackles of sin. That power transforms sinners into saints. And it makes us, those who grapple and fight with sin, helps us to be victorious and be victorious over all. And listen, what did Jesus say? Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. He is all powerful. And then he has a perfect humility. For all that one needs to do is this, to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and you can see the picture of Jesus' humility. It was at this, when Jesus rises from the supper table, and he girds himself with a towel, and he washes and takes a basin of water, and he kneels down and he washes the feet of his disciples, the dirty feet of his disciples. Can you imagine it? The Son of God, the Lord of glory, the King of kings. No wonder Peter said, "Lord, not my feet. You don't wash my feet." But the picture of this Holy One with the feet of a dirty disciple in his hand, and he's washing their feet. And what are the disciples doing? They just got done quarreling on who's going to be the greatest among them. And Jesus washes their feet in a quiet, modest, silent, unheard, unheralded way. He never was proud or boastful kind. And many times he would tell them after doing a miracle, "Tell no man, don't publicize it, tell no man." And then we're told in Philippians, St. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he admonishes them, and he tells all Christians, we need to be humble like Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. And in this passage, Jesus was in the form of God. He'd emptied himself and became man. You talk about humility. He was God and is God, and he emptied himself of that glory, and he came and became a man. And as a man, he became a humble man born in a stable, didn't have a place to lay his head. And as a man, he went to the cross, and he died on that cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, the humility of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, and he tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Too many of them are of us. We are not meek and lowly, but Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And so you and I need to get off of our high horse. And we think we're so holy and we're so good and we're so all of this and that. And we're just poor old lost sinners saved by grace. And just be humble about it. He was perfect in his majesty. No one ever dared take any liberty with Jesus Christ. A man named Spear said, "He never fled through fear. His enemies never terrorized him." And that's the record of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so noble. He walked life without display. He met rejection without dismay. He never lost control of himself. He was always calm. He always collected. He always was quiet. He avoided demonstrations of his popularity. Though he was great and mighty and he drove out the money changers from the temple, yet he is meek and gentle and kind. Oh, in a thousand ways we see how majestic and beautiful Jesus was, had all power, and yet he is hung among us and walked with the lowest of men. What a great Savior. What a beautiful Savior. He was perfect in his sinlessness. You know, there was a time when the world didn't know what a sinless person was, but they know today because Jesus was among us. Christ never spoke a sinful word. He never committed a sinful act. He never had a sinful thought. The pleasures and passions of this world never appealed to him. And instead, the fame and favor he passed over, and he was that beautiful Savior, sinless. When he was born, the angel Gabriel announced him as that holy thing. The one who betrayed him threw down the silver and cried, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Pilate declared Jesus as the man without a fault, a just person. And Pilate's wife wrote him a note and said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man." The Roman centurion at the cross said, "Truly this was a righteous man." And John delighted in calling him Jesus Christ the righteous. He was perfect. He was beautiful. He was majestic. And he had a perfect love. Untold volumes could be written about this wonderful Savior and his great love. But he tells us in the Bible, for instance, the Bible says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself." Listen, friends, nobody ever loved like that. None of us ever loved like that. But Jesus did. He was perfect. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And Jesus, you know, this love is here with us today. And he loves you. And he loves us. And he loves you that you may be deep in sin. Maybe you've gone astray and you've turned to your own way. Maybe you said, and I have so many people tell me, "I don't know how God would ever forgive me because I knew I was sinning and I did it anyway. I sinned against light." He loves you. He loves you. And Jesus loves you. And he's not willing that any should perish. But he wants all of you to come to repentance. But let me tell you something, friend. Listen to me now. We have all this preaching of God is love all the way to into eternity. God's love stops at the grave for the man that doesn't trust Jesus. That comes an end to that love. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to come to die. You're going to be cast into that fiery furnace, that fiery place with the devil. And you're going to be there forever because the love of God ends and the wrath of God begins. But if you know Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, that love will never end. It'll never separate you from that love. I've written a little book about it. And you can write to us. We'll give the address in just a minute. Can a person lose their salvation? Can a Christian lose their salvation? Answer is absolutely not. And so before the day of sunset comes, oh, I beg of you to turn to Jesus and trust in this wonderful Savior. Because, oh, it'll be a terrible day to meet the wrath of God and suffer that terrible wrath to come. But it's going to come unless you come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's the beautiful Savior. And I'm praying that there'll be many of you right now, and you'll pray, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins." You need to do that wherever you are in the face of the earth. You do that. And when you have Jesus, oh, you'll have the beautiful Savior. I read a little story. It's called The Painting. And it's the story is told of a wealthy man who, with his young son, shared a passion for collecting art. And together, the widowed man and his son traveled the world, adding the finest art treasures to their collection. And priceless works of Picasso and Monet and many others adorned the walls of their estate. The son became an experienced art collector, and his father beamed with pride as he made many deals for precious poetry and precious art. Then the war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. And after a few weeks, the father received a telegram that says, "Your son is missing in action." The art collector waited anxiously. He was fearing that he would never see his son again. And within days, his fears were confirmed. The son had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. And on Christmas morning, there was a knock at the door, and he went and he was greeted by a soldier holding a large package. And the man said, I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in? I have something for you. And as they talked then, as sat down and talked, the soldier told the father how the son had helped him and how he had helped so many others. And then the soldier said, I'm an artist, and I want to give you this. The old man unwrapped the package, and it was a portrait of his son. And overcoming with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace. And after the soldier departed, the old man set about his task, hanging the painting above the fireplace and pushing aside thousands and millions of dollars worth of paintings. And there he sat on that chair, that's Christmas, gazing at the gift that he had been given. And during the week that followed, he told so many, the most wonderful gift he ever got was the gift that the man brought, the portrait of his son. The next spring, the old man became ill and passed away. And the art world waited in anticipation, knowing that his paintings would be sold at auction. And according to his will, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day. In his will, he said, Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift, the portrait of his son. Christmas soon arrived, and art collectors from all around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. And the auction began with a painting that wasn't even on the auction list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid on this picture of his son. Minutes passed, and no one spoke, and no one bid. And finally, someone in the back of the room shouted, who cares about the painting of his son? We want to get the good stuff. Let's go on. And many echoed and said, yes, that's what we want. And the auctioneer says, no. We sell the auction off the one of his son first. Who'll give me a bid? And finally, a friend of the old man spoke up. He said, would you take $10? That's all I have. I knew the boy and I loved him, and I'd like to have it. And the auctioneer replied, I have $10. Will anybody go higher? After more silence, the auctioneer said, going once, going twice, gone. The gavel fell, and the people cheered. Now they could buy their precious paintings. And then the auctioneer looked at the audience and said, the auction is now over. Stunned under disbelief filled the room. What do you mean it's over? What about these paintings? There are millions of dollars worth here. And the auctioneer replied, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whosoever takes the Son gets it all. And that's what you do when you take Jesus. You get it all. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Nothing but hell. And that's why we have the Christian worship hour. And that's why we preach. And that's why we beg. And that's why we tell you, come to Jesus. You say, Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Have to receive him. You say, how do you receive him? You just says, I stand at the door and knock in Revelation. I stand at your heart's door and I knock. And if you ask me to come in, I will come in and I'll dwell with you. And so you just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and God knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned. Maybe you want to name some of your sins. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just I've sinned, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from my sinful ways the best I can. You won't be perfect, but you got to make that effort. That's called repentance. Jesus taught repentance. And then you thank Jesus for coming into your heart. And if you make that prayer, you're born again. You take that prayer, you have the Son. You have everything in Jesus, but you've got to pray it. Nobody can pray it for you. You have to do it yourself in your own way. Just simply make that prayer. And if you did, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature to help you in the Christian get started. It's the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can get a hold of us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com, christianworshiphour.com. And then you can send a gift on PayPal and help us that way, because we need your help. And somebody will say, well, how do I know you'll spend the money wisely and use it wisely? We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, And they not only see that we pay out receipts on everything, but they check to see if we spend the money the way we say. We're just as clean as a hound's tooth. And you can just get it on internet and you get a report from this organization anytime you want. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, we have the new song. It's a little Bible study. And it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the results of the resurrection. And you write to us and we'll send it to you free and postpaid, called The New Song. And then if you'd like to have the little booklet, we have a booklet on Can a Christian Lose His Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. You cannot. If you are once saved, you're always saved. And we have verses. We have 10 pages of verses. It isn't something that I said, oh, you had a vision or you dreamed it up or you thought that. No, it's the Bible. Read the Bible. That's where the power is. That's where the authority is. That's where the assurance is. Read the Bible so you write to us. And those of you on shortwave, oh, we love to hear from you. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And now we're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the Christians in Iraq that are suffering. And we're going to pray for the lost that have come to Jesus. And we're going to pray for those who are having hard times. Dear Jesus, first of all, we pray for your people who are suffering, many of them put to death. We don't pray for them because they're in your presence. They wear the martyr's crown, but the mothers and the parents and the friends and the loved ones and the children, the little children, oh, God, especially help them, we pray. And for those who don't know you, help them to come today. And to those who love you and trust you, but they're having hard times. Maybe they just lost the closest one on earth to them, is taken home. Maybe they have sickness. Maybe they're lonely. God, we don't know. But you told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And that's what we want to do, is comfort them. And Jesus, you can do that, because whoever takes the Son takes everything. We have everything. We have his companionship. We have his health. We have his strength. And he'll guide and lead us. To young people not knowing which way to turn, help them to turn to you. Take Jesus and find in him strength and help and guidance. Oh, we love you, Lord. And we pray everyone will love you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So we're just praying that you'll have a good week. And now we're going to continue these sermons on the beautiful Savior. And tell your friends to listen in. And be sure to write to us and help us in our work. You've got to help us, so we can't carry on. So you've got it there, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. God bless you. And God loves you. We love you. And take care.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.